This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello and welcome to the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information. Brought to you by Cornell University Turfgrass Program in partnership with the New York State Turfgrass Association. My name is Frank Rossi. I'm the Associate Professor of Turfgrass Science here in the Department of Horticulture at Cornell University. And the following are observations and recommendations for the week of April 23rd, 2012. The continued dry weather has begun to create significant drought stress, and smart turf managers are actively assessing turf root growth, depth of irrigation application, and turf stress level. Where there is value in pre-stress conditioning, it is also time to allow plants to generate energy reserves that can be utilized during the stress periods of the summer. If overstressing now, there will be no benefit to the conditioning and more problems as season progresses. The dry weather has kept many fungal diseases at bay, and there is an unusual collection of winter annuals, especially hairy bittercress. It's not wise to make an herbicide application if the seed pod is already mature, slightly browning, as the plant will be dying soon. Also, looking at growing degree days, the 2012 season is similar to 2010 season at this point. Pat Vitton reports the presence of annual bluegrass weevil larvae in some samples and expects to see more over the next week, so we may be at another application timing to address this pest before significant injury occurs. Well, we had a sixth consecutive above normal week last week with temps in the southern section of the region in excess of 10 degrees above normal for the week. Northern areas between 3 and 6 above normal. Degree days remain 3 plus weeks ahead, and the soils are in the 50s to the north and high 50s to the south. Another dry week with most areas well below normal, receiving less than a half an inch. ET continues to be unusually high for the spring, with water loss about 3/4 of an inch for the week. Conditions are still well in the are still well in the requirements for classification as a drought along the I-95 corridor. Favorable conditions for dandelion control with the ester formulation of 2,4-D is available from the Hudson Valley and south, with a few pockets in upstate. Expect the cold weather this week to keep this progressing much. Still have some time for the amine formulation, typically used in the consumer ready-to-use formulations. A transitional week ahead with potential increased precipitation to start the week and the possibility of snowfall on the higher elevations, northern elevations of central New York. The rest of the region is expected to get some scattered but not significant amounts of rainfall. Temps will start to cool and slowly warm but still remain above normal. Highs will be in the 50s and 60s and lows 30s to 40s. Longer term cooling for continued warm and dry. Check out all the weather information at our forecast website. The Western New York update from Walt Nelson. Forsythia is beginning to be green and gold close to Lake Ontario, and the farther inland, the more the green. Down Ithaca way, it's mostly green. Sport fields are in suspended animation, not growing much, and fields are getting harder. Where continues to take its toll, spring seeding or awaiting moisture to germinate. The Eastern Long Island report from Tom Kowalsik and Tamsin Yeh. Dry weather is the big factor in our area. This has caused some major brush fires in the Pine Barrens. The weather has been so dry that sod growers have started irrigating their sod fields. Many irrigation systems have been turned on due to the weather. I've seen dry spots appearing in turf, and these appear to be where other factors in addition to dry weather exist. Turf on slopes and berms can be seen drying out as well as turf along edges of drives and walks. In some cases, patches are also appearing in the middle of lawns. I observed one section of lawn that has gone completely tan on a slope. The Cooperative Extension Suffolk County Diagnostic Lab is getting calls on annual bluegrass, chickweed, and still hairy bittercress. Most of the plants have set seed by now. These are very obvious where turf is slowed due to dry weather. There are now loads of dandelions that have been moved into the puffball stage. Forsythia has finished flowering or nearly so in the Riverhead area, but still flowering as you move on to the eastern end of the North Fork. I've seen lilac starting to bloom this week. The Capital District report from Dave Chinnery. Continued dry weather has slowed turf grass growth, with some lawns not even receiving a first mowing yet. Calls and interest in hairy bittercress continue, and we've also gotten questions about Veronica and wild onion in lawns. Violets are in full bloom, but dandelion development seems slow. We also had our first question about a light green grass, one of the undesirable bluegrasses, showing up in a lawn that was seeded last year. And the Westchester report from Jerry Giordano and Rick Harper. No substantial rain in weeks left one turf professional pulling cores down to 6 inches and reporting dry soil. Wilted lawns crunch underfoot and tire tracks on turf abound in many parts of the county. Irrigation contractors are scrambling to turn on systems for panicked customers, but the ground is so dry in some cases that set calibrations or timing are not adequate. Dandelions are just beginning to enter the puffball stage, while samples of henbit and hairy bittercress common in the lab are carpeting local lawns in rarely seen numbers. An astounded landscaper reported adult chinch bug activity this week, while another described patches of powdery mildew on turf as conditions that mimic the dog days of August continue. A fertilization and compost update from Marty Petrovic here at Cornell University. Phosphorus fertilizer law update prohibits the use of phosphorus-containing lawn fertilizers unless establishing a new lawn, including the first growing season, or a soil test shows that the lawn does not have enough phosphorus. The definition of a phosphorus fertilizer means fertilizer in which the available phosphate, P2O5, second number on the bag, content is greater than 0.67% by weight, excluding compost. Compost-based fertilizers. Fertilizers derived from compost may be applied to all turf sites between April 1st and November 30th, except within 20 feet of surface water, as noted above. We've observed, however, that compost, especially ones from manure, can often contain high amounts of phosphorus that can eventually result in soils that are very high in phosphorus and have very high amounts of phosphorus runoff from turf sites. Use soil tests as a guide. If soils are already high in phosphorus, consider not applying compost-based fertilizers if they contain phosphorus. You can use what you have. The law allows you to continue to use phosphorus fertilizer on lawn and non-agricultural turf after January 1st, 2012, that was purchased prior to January 2012, the effective date of the law. You have to soil test annual for phosphorus when applying organic fertilizers derived from compost. For lawns receiving compost as a fertilizer source, it is especially important to monitor the soil P levels on an annual basis. Most composts are derived from materials relatively high in P and low in N. To meet the N needs for lawns, most composts are applied at high rates. Yearly application at these rates can increase soil P levels far beyond grass needs and exceed those levels considered a threat to water quality. Research at the University of Maine has indicated that soil phosphorus of 14 part per million using a modified Morgan is a threshold above which water-soluble P could be expected to increase more rapidly with additional phosphorus loading. Compost applications to sports fields. Little information is available regarding the effects of compost top dressing on the playing quality and soil properties of athletic turf under traffic conditions. A study was conducted at The Ohio State University to measure the effect of multiple top dressing applications over a two-year period before and after heavy traffic on soil chemical properties and turf grass quality on an established tall fescue turf. Two compost types, sewage sludge compost and yard waste compost, and a sand sewage sludge compost mix at 70-30 at three application rates of a quarter inch, half inch, and 1 inch were top dressed in conjunction with two intensities of soil cultivation. Turf grass color, cover, and material cover were measured every 2 weeks. Soil chemical properties measured in September 09 and 10. Greater turf color enhancement was obtained with the sewage sludge compost at a quarter inch and a half inch. Color enhancement lasted up to 12 weeks with the sewage sludge, 7 weeks with the sludge compost, and 6 weeks with the yard waste. After wear, color decreased in all treatments. Sewage sludge compost and sludge compost, however, showed the most acceptable color at higher top dressing rates. Sewage sludge compost at the higher 1-inch rate caused phytotoxicity resulting in turf burn and overall decline in turf quality. Turf grass color and soil nutrient status increased with compost treatments, indicating a generally positive effect on overall turf quality, though there may be negative effects on playing quality in terms of reduced traction and stability. A diagnostic update from Rich Buckley at Rutgers University. Conditions have been very dry, and dry is no good for fungi. Dry does, however, stress grass. The dry winter left us with little soil moisture reserves, and several days of high skies, wind, and above-average temperatures over the last 2 weeks have pushed some turf stands to the brink. That said, we've had a couple of samples of anthracnose foliar by in the lab today. Both plugs were bent grass from sand root zones, and both likely dried down before the fungus moved in. I know all the conventional wisdoms about holding back on irrigation this spring, but I highly suggest you take a close look at vulnerable sites, and better to water too early than to water too late. And from the landscape, we're having a run on samples of taxus that were diagnosed with Phytophthora crown and root rot. Like the needle cast, this disease outbreak is also largely due to the weather last year. Flooding and tropical weather conditions in the late summer, remember Irene, were very good for Phytophthora. The fungus killed lots of plants at the time and will continue to kill as the season progresses and root systems infected last fall fail. And finally, my Gazing in Grass update focuses on early anthracnose treatments. A trial conducted at Oregon State University investigated the effectiveness of fungicide rotations applied every 3 weeks using two start dates, the early start of June 26th and the late start of July 18th, combined with 3, 4, and 5 applications to control anthracnose. The fungicides used in the rotations were Lynx, Medallion, Bannermax, and Signature, all mixed with Daconil-Ultrex. The trial site was a sand-based practice screen with a history of anthracnose and confirmed resistance to strobil urine and thiophanate methyl fungicides, with first disease symptoms normally appearing in mid-July. Nitrogen was limited early in the trial to encourage the disease, and the green was maintained in accordance with current putting green standards. There were no differences in percent disease cover or turf quality between the early start fungicide programs, even though Program 1 had only 3 fungicide applications, and Programs 2 and 3 had 4 and 5 fungicide applications, respectively. All 3 early start programs had less than a 0.5% disease cover at the conclusion of the trial, whereas the untreated plots averaged 38% disease cover. The 3 late start rotation programs had significantly worse turf quality than the early start programs, but only slightly more disease. The worst disease and turf quality resulted from Program 4, the late start, with only 3 fungicide applications. The results of this trial suggest that it may be possible to reduce fungicide applications later in the summer if the initial application is timed correctly. Thank you for joining me for the weekly installment of the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information. I'm Frank Rossi in the Department of Horticulture here at Cornell University, and I hope you have a great week.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.